second while you find your place there. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 30. Now, I'd encourage you, I'm not like Pastor Jeff, I don't do the whole slides or anything. So I'd encourage you just to keep your copy of God's Word open. Keep it just accessible, and then we will be able to just dive into it and all that. But this is one of those passages that I'm sure most of us, if not all of us in here, are very familiar with. We've probably read them or read it, numerous different times. And it's one of those passages where I could read these verses, and then we could just kind of, reflect on them, meditate on them for a few minutes, pray, and then leave. Those are kind of this is that kind of passage. Now, if you're thinking in your mind, let's do that. Yeah, I could get to lunch early. I'm sorry. We're not going to do that. But this is still one of those passages that I believe for all of us, it's needed. But it's also, I don't intend to introduce any new truths as if I found something new or was enlightened as I studied this week. But I do intend to remind you all of the wonderful truth that we find in this passage. Just the peace that we can find in this passage. So I'm going to read it really quick. And before I even say anything after that, I'm just going to give us a few seconds to reflect on the word. I want us to just kind of reflect on what Jesus is saying in these verses, and then we'll dive into it. But Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I'm going to ask a question that I'm pretty sure I know the answer to for all of us, but have you ever longed for rest? Have you ever longed for rest? Some of you right now, you're probably hoping and looking forward to that Sunday afternoon nap, right? Just the kind of the best part of Sundays is for you going home, hitting that bed, and for some reason, those naps on Sundays just hit different. I don't know what it is about them, but they're amazing. But we've all, in some form or fashion in our life, we have longed for rest. We want to rest. If there's one thing that every human being, every single person in this room has longed for or that we strive for, it's rest. It's peace. Like this moment right here, like if I stop talking, we have that quietness. We long for that rest and that peace. I believe if we were to talk or to ask everyone in this room what they believe true rest is, odds are we would get different answers. Some may think that true rest is finally getting peace and quiet after all the kids have gone to sleep, or maybe all the kids are at their friend's house. That peace and quiet, to them, that might be rest. Some might think rest is sitting out on a quiet porch drinking a cup of coffee with God's word in the morning. That might be rest. For me, if you put a cup of coffee in my hand in God's word, I'm pretty close to rest right there. That's pretty good for me. But everyone desires rest. And I know enough of you in here, and I know enough of what everyone has, what your life looks like, what we've endured these last several weeks. I know enough to know that every single person in here is longing for rest. In any capacity, we long for rest. So just as everyone strives for and longs for rest, everyone looks for rest in different areas, or they think rest will come in certain situations. And I'm not really sure I understood the phrase of sleep like a baby until I had a niece. So my wife and I, we don't have kids yet. If you talk to us, our baby and our pride and joy, as I've mentioned, is our dog, our 13-year-old, 8-toothed Yorkie named Charlie. All right, that is our baby. But we do have a niece now. And so ever since I've had this niece, I understand this phrase, sleep like a baby, a little bit more. Because if those of you that have had kids, you see that once that baby is asleep, there is peace. There is rest. I mean, there is nothing disturbing them. So last night, my wife and I, we got the opportunity to go and babysit our niece. She was out of routine, so it was our responsibility to put her to sleep. And she was out of routine, her parents weren't putting her to sleep. She was out of routine. So for the next 45 minutes to an hour, this girl is screaming her head off in her room. You know, screaming, throwing her little stuffed animal out the crib and all that, you know, losing her mind. And anytime I've babysat her, you know, she'll fight that sleep, like I'm sure most of your kids have done at some point in time. She fights that sleep, she screams, and she cries. There was one time I was babysitting her, she was screaming and crying, and I was like, what am I going to do? Because it was just me. And I was like, is she okay? Because this level of screaming is just doesn't seem normal to me. Like, I've been in student ministry a while now, but that was something I've never experienced. And all of a sudden, she's screaming and all that. This was one time I was babysitting her. She was screaming, and then it just stops. From one second to the next, it's losing her mind, and then there's peace. And I look at the baby monitor, and she goes from, you know, screaming, throwing a temper tantrum, to being sound asleep. And you look at her, and it's like, man, I want that kind of rest. You look at that baby, and she is sound asleep. All the screaming and fighting and all that is over, and she is at peace, all is well, and all the noise suddenly went silent. She's asleep. And we all look for rest in different ways. To us, that might be the kind of rest we're looking for, that peace and quiet of seeing a baby sleep. Maybe we think, once the baby's asleep, I'll get to rest. Or maybe we think, once I get this job, then I'll finally be at peace. I'll finally feel good. I'll finally be at rest. Or maybe if we can only make it to this day, then we can get a break and we can feel at peace, we can feel at rest. Or maybe we think, you know, that if I can just get past this problem, deal with this, then I will have true rest. Like we think a job is going to bring us rest until a few months into it, it's not. Or we think that we need to get rid of this problem in order to have rest, but then lo and behold, a few months later, there comes another one. If you've lived in this world long enough, you know that you might deal with one problem, but then another one's gonna come. So we all want rest. And a lot of times we think rest is just the elimination of stress and of our problems. And that might bring us some peace momentarily, but that is not the true longing rest that we actually desire. When we think of what we need to bring us rest, the issue with most of our solutions is that they are temporary. They're worldly. They don't actually bring us the peace that we desire because that is only temporary and then eventually it's gone. So we need something a little deeper than just temporary rest from our issues, from our anxiety, and from our problems. We think that, and we think the solution to our needing rest is these temporary solutions, but all of those are going to run out. And so a lot of the times we think the solutions to our unrest will be physical, that if A, B, C, or D happens, I can rest. But the problem with looking for rest in the physical things around us, like I've already mentioned, is that it's temporary. And one thing we must understand is that if we are ever going to truly find the deep rest that our souls long for, we will never find it in anything or anyone other than Jesus, in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, our deepest need is not for physical rest. Our deepest need is not for physical rest, but spiritual. That deep longing, desire for rest that can only be satisfied through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. So a lot of times the reason we have so much anxiety, the reason there's so much depression, the reason there's so much unrest in our lives and in the world in general is because we're looking for rest and comfort in all of the wrong places. We're looking for rest and comfort in all the wrong places. We think the solution is to strive after worldly things. But no, the solution is only in Jesus. So if I can remind you of something just really quick, that if you hear nothing else this morning, you will never truly find the rest that your soul desires until you find Jesus Christ, until you place your faith in the saving work of Christ. That is the only place and the only person that true rest is found in. That is why he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So our deepest need, as Jesus is going to reveal in our passage this morning, is to stop toiling and striving after things that can never offer us true rest, and to come and to find true rest in him, to find the true rest that is only found in him. Our deepest desire and our deepest need is to find rest in Jesus. And this is what these verses call us to do. In this passage, Jesus is extending a loving invitation to put away all striving after good works to save yourselves, striving after worldly things to bring you rest, and to rest in him. You will never know or find true rest until we come to the one through whom that true rest is found. So my hope is that we would all read the words in our passage this morning and be comforted by them, to be reminded of them, that they would bring us a peace and remind us of the rest that we have in Jesus. I was reading a book this week about this passage, and in this book, the author talks about an observation that Charles Spurgeon makes, or once made concerning the Gospels. He mentioned that in all four of the Gospels, the only place where we are explicitly told, like plain out, the heart of Jesus is in this verse, in these verses. That the heart of Jesus is gentle and lowly. Like, we see it played out and fleshed out in all the other Gospels, but this is where we are explicitly told what Jesus' heart posture is, which is gentle and lowly. And I don't know how many of us are reminded of that or remember that enough, that our Savior is not how we view people when we wrong them. Like, when we wrong people, we think, oh, they're going to come after a retribution. They're going to want to make, you know, get us back and all that. And so a lot of times we could view God that way, but he is not like that. He is gentle and he is lowly in heart. That is our Savior's posture and heart towards us. That when he sees you, when he sees all of your sin, because I hate to burst your bubble, all your sin is, you have a lot of it. We all have a lot of sin. When he sees all of that, his heart posture is not towards anger. It's not anger towards you, but it is gentle and lowly. And that is why we can have rest in him, because he is gentle and lowly in heart. The last thing you're going to do when you have a screaming baby on your hands is to hand it to somebody that's freaking out just as much as the baby is, right? Because that's not going to help anything. You know, like if a baby's screaming, you're not going to hand it to the crazy uncle who is screaming just as much as the baby because the baby is screaming. No, you're going to hand the baby to one of their parents who are calm, who knows how to calm that child. And that is what we should seek in Christ. We should not seek after these worldly things that can offer us nothing, but we should seek after Jesus, who is gentle and lowly in heart and offers us true rest. And so we see that Jesus' heart is gentle and lowly. His heart for us is that we would find rest in him and him alone. So this morning, real quick, I'm not going to offer, as I already mentioned, I'm not going to offer any new observations of this text and act as if, you know, I learned something and I've got something, an observation about this that no one else has, because I think this text is very clear. What I just hope to do is just remind you of the truths in this text, just the truth that true rest is found in our gentle, lowly Savior, our gentle and lowly Savior. So I want us to look at three things that point us to and bring us to the one through whom true rest is found. So three things that bring us to this true rest that we want. And the first thing is a personal invitation. The first thing in this passage that points us to or draws us to this rest we long for is a personal invitation. Look at verse 28 with me. And really pay attention to the words that Jesus uses here. I really want you to look into the text, and I want you to just reflect on this text and actually pay attention to it. This is Jesus, our gentle, lowly Savior, saying, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So the first thing I want us to note about this verse is, who is doing the inviting? Who is the one inviting here? And quite obviously, it's Jesus, our gentle and lowly Savior, inviting those that would struggle and that are laboring and heavy laden to himself. So considering the context of this passage, Jesus had been revealing really to a primarily Jewish audience, that salvation is found only in knowing him, in knowing the Son. And here he is revealing to us this comforting reality that if we desire rest, whether it be from striving after good works in order to save ourselves, or rest in general in this world, the true rest that our souls long for, then it is found in a personal invitation from him. It's not found in anything you can do, but in him, in Jesus. Something I don't think we remind ourselves of often. So elsewhere in the Gospels, we see Jesus inviting people to come after him. He says, you know, come follow me, come after me, and come follow after me. But one thing I think is very unique here is Jesus says, come to me. So I believe Matthew is very intentional with the words he uses here. Because where elsewhere we see the phrase, come after me, you know, come follow after me, the invitation here is to come to him. To come to him. But before we can even follow Jesus, We must come to him. We must come to him. And Jesus here, he is extending a personal invitation to come to him to find this rest that our souls long for. That if you are longing for rest today, come to Jesus. If you have had the worst week of your entire life, then the true rest that you desire can only be found in Jesus. I've often talked to pastors and other Christians who have gone through hard times, gone through struggles in general in life, and they always say, I don't know how people walk through this life without Jesus. I don't know how people walk through this life without Jesus. Because if we walk through this life and just see all of the despair and depression that this world has to offer, we would all be so hopeless. And if you look around our world, it is a very hopeless place. Like, our world is filled with people who think that true rest and true peace is going to come from anything other than Jesus. But no, true rest and peace and hope is found in him and him alone. That is where true peace is found in. That when we have the worst week of our lives, we can come to him. So Jesus is offering this invitation to come to him. A personal invitation to come to him to find this rest that our souls long for. He's not saying just come after me, as he says. But before we even come after him, we must come to him. I also want us to notice who Jesus is inviting. He doesn't say, come to me, all of you who have earned your own salvation, all of you who have figured life out, figured everything out. I don't know how many of you guys in here have figured everything out in the world to be perfect and all that. If any of you raise your hand, I'm a little concerned. But he is not saying any of that. He's not saying, come to me, all you who are perfect. Come to me, all of you who have got it all together and all that. No, he doesn't say that. He says, he's not even saying, once you figure it all out, come to me. He is saying, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All of you who are heavy laden and labor, all of you that are burdened. Is anyone in here burdened this morning by something? All of us can feel a burden. We all desire that rest. And Jesus' invitation for those people is to come to me. That's why he says all who labor and are heavy laden. Because those that think they have it all together, those that think they're perfect, they're never going to come to him because they think they've got it all and they don't need him. But if you're in here and you consider yourself a believer, then you've acknowledged the fact that we do indeed need Christ. We need him every step of the way in this life. We need him. We need him to give us wisdom as we walk through and make decisions. We need him to give us grace when we fail miserably. We need him to remind us of his love and the hope we have in him when we lose a loved one, when we walk through a tough time with a loved one and walk through suffering. We need him, and that's why he invites us to come to him. He offers this invitation, and he doesn't force himself upon us, but no, he invites us humbly. And so maybe you're here this morning, and for so long you have tried to earn your own salvation. You thought if only you could conjure up enough works, then it would be enough to save you. Or maybe you've been here and you've, in your own strength, have been trying to put away sin in your life. And you think, if I could just put away this sin, if I can just, not struggle with this anymore, I'd be perfect. Relying on your own self to resist temptation. I don't know how that works out. Then you think you'd be good. But no matter how hard you work, it still doesn't happen, or you're exhausted from even trying. Or maybe you're here, you've placed your faith in the saving work of Christ, but you're still struggling, whether it be with sin, whether it be with life in general. Because if there's one guarantee in life, is that we will all face struggles and trials at some point in time. That's one promise Jesus definitely gives in John 16, that in this life you will have trouble. But he also says to take heart because he has overcome the world. You're struggling with maybe being a child of God but still being in the world. So maybe you're walking through a trial. Maybe you lost a loved one, lost your job, and you're just struggling. Maybe you're taking care of a loved one and it's hard on you. Maybe you're taking care of multiple people in your family and it's just hard. And Jesus is offering a personal invitation for you to come to him and to find rest, whatever your situation may be, to find rest in him. And the comforting thing about this invitation is that it comes with an assurance. It comes with a promise. And this invitation says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a guarantee from our gentle and lowly Savior. that you will find rest. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. It is an assurance. When we come to him and we focus on him, he will give us rest. That's the first thing I want us to point out, is that it comes, that this rest that we desire comes through a personal invitation. The next thing I want us to note is that this true rest comes in the form of a new load to carry. Or maybe a better way to phrase it would be carrying our load in a different way. A different way to carry this load. Look at verse 29 with me. And once again, focus on these words as I read them. Look at them in your text and focus on them. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So Jesus says, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Man, gentle and lowly. We've already talked about that this morning, but man, what a promise, what a comfort. So one thing I love about the teaching of Jesus that we see in the Gospels, he uses a lot of metaphors and a lot of symbolism in order to convey a point further. Or in order to further convey the significance of what he's trying to get across to his audience. So here in verse 29, he, following a personal invitation for the weary and heavy laden to come to him, he offers them a new load or a new way to carry our burdens by taking his yoke upon ourselves. And we'll talk about the yoke of Jesus here in a little bit. But one thing I want us to focus on really quick is the way in which we are to carry our loads. Jesus offers an invitation to learn from him. To learn how to carry our loads and to learn from him, because he is gentle and lowly in heart. So Jesus' invitation to come to him and find rest is also now extending to an invitation to take the burden that he bore on our behalf on the cross, to take it upon ourselves in order to find rest, because he is gentle and lowly in heart. That the righteousness you may think you can earn in your own strength, Jesus did on your behalf. And so you don't have to, and you can actually take that on to yourself. And Jesus' heart posture towards you, and one amazing truth is that Jesus' heart posture towards you is that he is gentle and lowly. And as I mentioned earlier, unfortunately, I believe a lot of the times we can let our experiences in the world and how we see other people behave dictate our view of God. We see how the world behaves, we see how people behave in the world, and we allow that to dictate our view of God. But our God, our Savior, is gentle and lowly. He is gentle and lowly. I mean, and whenever we're enduring trials or carrying burdens, it's easy to think that just because God doesn't take that away ASAP, just because he doesn't take away all of our struggles right when we want, we think that he doesn't listen or that he doesn't love us. But no, he is a gentle and lowly Savior. The kind of heart of God, the kind of heart of Jesus that we see painted in this passage this morning is one of being gentle and lowly in heart. That we should come to him with our struggles, with our burdens, when we're seeking true rest, because he is gentle and lowly in heart. He's not going to sit there and cast you away, but yet his heart posture towards you is of gentleness and humility. So if you hear nothing else this morning, I want you to understand that our Savior, the one that we come to worship every week, is gentle and lowly. He's not harsh with you when you come to him. He is humble, and he is gentle and lowly. He is humble, meaning that he is easily accessible and approachable. I'm sure we all know people that are just very unapproachable. Like, maybe they stand here, they look mad. I once worked with a guy which, like, people just felt like they couldn't approach him because he looked mad all the time. But then you talk to him and he would just smile all of a sudden. But maybe we view God as being unapproachable, but he is not. Because he is gentle and lowly, we can come to him. He is approachable. And he offers us not only rest from the burdens that we bear now, but also a new way to carry them. A new way to reflect on the eternal rest that we have in him. That though life is definitely hard now, though life in this world is very difficult, it is not eternal. But the rest we have in Jesus is eternal. And so when we bring our burdens to Jesus, we don't have to fear, wondering if he hears us or if he even cares. But we can rest in the reality that he is gentle and he is lowly, and he delights for us to bring our burdens to him. And he delights to bring us rest and to give us peace. Because when we bring our burdens to him, he is not inconvenienced. but instead is glad that you do so. And he offers you a new load to carry, or a new way to carry your load, by learning from him, by reflecting on his gentleness and on his lowliness in heart. So that's the second thing that points us and reminds us of this rest that we have. And the third and final thing that points us to this eternal rest that our souls long for is this comforting truth that Jesus has already alluded to so far in these verses, but that he makes clear in verse 30. This comforting truth, in verse 29, Jesus invites those that come to him to take his yoke upon ourselves to learn from him. And here in verse 30, he tells us what his yoke is like. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The way to rest, the way to the rest that we so long, that we all long for and desire for, the way to that rest is easy. And so we burden ourselves or hurt ourselves by trying to carry our burdens ourselves or trying to fix things on our own. But back in Jesus' day in the first century, a yoke was often a wooden beam often placed on two animals in order to pull a load, in order to kind of ease the load for both animals. And so a yoke could be something planted on the shoulders of two animals to pull a load, but it could also be something planted or put on an individual person to help us carry their load easier. And so when Jesus says here to take his yoke upon ourselves and that his yoke is easy and the burden is light, what does he mean by that? Which kind of yoke does he have in mind? And so we need to determine the kind of yoke that is in view here. And I think rather appealing at first glance is the type of yoke that two animals are required to use together. Because if that's the kind of yoke that is in view, then the meaning is that when we're walking through life, burdened by its troubles, going through a hard time, we are harnessed in with Jesus, and he is with us every step of the way, which is true. And that is very appealing, a very appealing view at first. That is, of course, true, but even more helpful, and I believe more in line with this passage, I believe Jesus has the single person harness or the single person yoke in view here when he says to take his yoke upon ourselves, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You see, in a society where the Jews were being told to follow the law in order to be saved and to earn salvation, this new load that Jesus offers us is not like that. This new yoke, instead of adding works or oppression to those carrying burdens, it eases the load and it offers us rest. And is that not what true salvation is? That instead of trying to work, and earn our own salvation, we can come to Jesus and we can rest in him. Rest in the work that he did on our behalf. We are now free to come to the one who paid the cost of our salvation so that we do not have to be burdened by trying to earn it, but instead can rest from those loads and walk with Jesus personally. And so we burden ourselves when we try and carry our loads ourselves. We hurt ourselves when we think we can walk through this life ourselves, when we think maybe we can earn our own salvation, which you can't. You think you can take care of your own problems, which you can't. True rest is only found in Jesus and taking his yoke upon you. Taking his yoke upon yourself, which is easy, and his burden is light. So we burden ourselves when we try to carry our loads ourselves. We hurt ourselves when we think we could take care of it on our own. And Jesus here, he is offering an invitation to come to him and to find rest from trying to fix things on our own, trying to earn our own salvation, because it has already been earned through Jesus taking on the burden of the cross, and to find rest in him. Whether it be rest from trying to earn salvation or rest from trying to carry your own burdens. Jesus is inviting you, from this passage, he is offering you this morning to come to him because the load he offers us through a personal relationship with him is light and it is easy compared to what we endure and face in this world. Not easy, meaning that life will always be perfect, but easy in the sense that it is easily obtainable to all that come to him. That when you come to Jesus, there is no doubting on whether or not you will find rest in him. There is no doubting on whether or not you will find salvation in him, but it is an assurance. It is a sure thing because he is gentle and lowly in heart. That is the kind of Savior that we have. And so as we close this morning, I want everyone this morning to just reflect. I want us to just spend some time just in silent reflection just on this passage, because as I mentioned earlier, this passage is familiar to us, and I don't think I introduced any new truths, but instead hopefully reminded you guys of these truths. But as we close this morning, I want you all to close your eyes as we begin to pray and as we begin to close out. But I want everyone in here to close your eyes. Because of the world we all live in, I know there are countless people in this room right now who are carrying very heavy loads. Whether it be those that are just trying to be good enough to get saved or those that are going through suffering of any kind at this moment. And before I pray for us and before we sing, I want you to take a second and rest and reflect on Jesus' words here in this passage. And I'm going to read and I'm going to close our time reading these verses again. But if you're here and you've been trying to earn your own salvation, give that burden up and come to Jesus. Repent and believe in him and you will be saved. Maybe you have some burdens that you want to give up to the Lord this morning. I would encourage you, this altar is open as always, to come and to pray, to come find rest in Jesus, to come and pray and to give your burdens up to him. But let's close this morning by reading these words and then worship Jesus now, giving our burdens to him. And the altar is open if you need it. But Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Dear Lord, we thank you for being a gentle and lowly Savior, for being one that we can come to, one that we can cast our burdens on, and one that we can find rest in. God, I pray for all of us in here, Lord, that we would seek and find true rest in you. Lord, I pray for all of us that are enduring hardships, enduring trials right now, God, that, Lord, as we sing this last song, we will cast those burdens at your feet and find rest in you. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in here that's been trying to earn their own salvation, trying to be good enough in order to be saved, Lord, that they would come, they would repent of that, and that they would just place their faith in the saving work of Christ. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your word. In your name we pray.